This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I'm speaking with ethnobotanist Kathleen Harris, who will be returning to the Telluride Mushroom Festival to speak on a variety of subjects at three different venues. Her subjects will be how ceremonial mushroom healing methods meet contemporary psilocybin research, mushroom personification in art and legend, and then a panel discussion, psilocybin as medicine. Kat, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
So would you give us a little bit of your backstory? Did your interest in Mother Nature get tweaked when you were a little girl?
Yes, it did. I was very fortunate to grow up on the Channel Islands off the coast of California and in the 1950s, and didn't spend much time on the mainland. And my father was a man of the sea and a local naturalist and really taught me to pay attention to nature. So I had an immersion in it as a child. And then my folks took my brother and I to Mexico when I was 6 years old to spend some months in a tiny village and bathe in the river and learn plants and that kind of thing. And I got bitten by the bug. I just wanted to keep doing that.
Okay. Where did you study your field, which is ethnobotany, and how did illustration come into the picture?
Well, I really started studying on my own as a young traveler in the 60s and early 70s, as many of us in that era did. By traveling to other cultures and asking people about the plants in their gardens or the plants they were eating or that they were using for medicine. And I didn't even know at first it was called ethnobotany, but it was such a good way to get to know people. And meanwhile, going in and out of college, I got my undergraduate degree in art, and I learned botanical illustration as a part of my art studies because I just really enjoyed that very focused perception on nature and the structures in nature and understanding the function of the structures of a leaf or a trunk or a butterfly's, you know, wings or whatever. So I just really learned to look at that fit with my philosophy.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. What happened in 1975? What were the circumstances under which you began exploring the natural world, aided by psilocybin?
Well, from the late 60s up through the early 70s, of course, we had had other psychoactive agents, particularly LSD, that I was part of that culture, and the discoveries along with that, and even looking at nature in those states of mind. But in 1975, the two McKenna brothers, Terrence and Dennis, figured out how to grow psilocybin-containing mushrooms that originally came from Mexico. And so there was sort of an explosion of mushroom growing all over North America as a little book came out and then another book. And many people learned that, and it became widely available. And it just was such a wonderful addition to our tools in learning to see things. So I had many experiences in nature with those following 1975, and it aided my interest in the ritual knowledge and use of them in other cultures as well, particularly, again, Mexico.
Right. Okay, thank you. Is this use of hallucinogens one of those kids don't try this at home kind of things? And do you suggest their use only with an experienced guide? And why, if you'll forgive the expression, are you so high on psilocybin as a gateway to a deeper experience with Gaia or Mother Nature?
Well, if I can address those to me first, I feel that, you know, we are actually participating in nature when we take in a respectful and cautious way these life forms, for instance, eating a mushroom. And that it gives us the eyes to see if we have the will and the intention and the patience and care to really look at nature, we can really understand it better, understand what's around us, understand our own metabolism even, you know, and understand the relationships, which are not normally visible because we're a culture that is so materially oriented. So we sometimes, I think, need to be in some kind of an enhanced state. It doesn't need to be generated chemically or botanically, but some kind of a focused state to be able to really see and appreciate what is all around us and working through us. To answer the question about don't do this alone, if we more carefully, more consciously and courageously raised our children to actually understand something about these states of mind and to understand that there is a knowledge and a method and always respect, I think that they would be in better shape to be experimenting. My generation, you know, we experimented wildly and there were casualties, but we also learned a great deal in other cultures, and I always look to traditions to see how do they do it. In other cultures where they have some sort of hallucinogenic species or agent, medicine as they often call it, they do raise their young people to know this isn't a party drug. This isn't something that you wander off into dangerous circumstances. You either do it with someone who is really going to see you through it, or this is, we train you first and then we put you out there, and it's a kind of initiation, but it's always done with that great intention and care.
Okay. Thank you very much for that answer. So now I'd love you to preview your three different talks. Let's begin with the first one, and I'm just asking for a few teasers, a few, you know, kind of, well, some lines that give people a sense of the direction that you'll be going in. So the first, as I had mentioned before, was on Friday. It's 1:30 to 2:45 at the Palm, and it's mushroom personification in art and legend.
Yes. Well, around the world, people, including most of our ancestors, if not all of them, have been animists, looking at that every species is alive and that every species has sort of a persona. This is a common way throughout history to relate to nature. And so mushrooms seem particularly still to carry that kind of, that they've got personalities. We see them very readily, all species of mushrooms. And so this is sort of a fun talk where I've collected many images and some stories from my fieldwork about how people personify or animate mushrooms and relate to them almost as though they are people, or that they have a will and perception and language of their own. Lots
okay.
of images.
Thank you. The second alludes to what we were just discussing, psilocybins, and that is how ceremonial mushroom healing methods meet contemporary psilocybin research. That talk takes place 8:30 to 9:45 on Saturday at the Palm.
Well, there, as some people may know, there is a lot of this is a rebirth of research, professional scientific research into these altered states, including with psilocybin, which is the active chemical in many of these so-called magic mushroom species. And some of the best studies, or I think some of the most interesting, at least, are going on at Johns Hopkins University. There are others at UCLA and New York University. Sometimes having to do with healing, sometimes with cancer, sometimes with dying, and sometimes with a spiritual experience in the what they call the psychedelically naive, people who have not had that kind of experience before. And the studies are very interesting. The question that was raised to me was how might the methods, shamanic methods, methods of focusing and paying attention, internal reflection, how might these methods that are part of the traditions of shamanism and mushroom-based ceremony address or affect these experiments, these studies that are happening? Would it be helpful if any of these methods were brought across to these studies? So it's speculative, but an interesting topic. And I've done some research and how this might happen, and I'm going to talk about that.
Okay. And your third appearance is on Sunday, 9:30 to 10:45, again at the Palm, and it's psilocybe as medicine is the topic.
Yes, that's a panel discussion with Good Times, and I, I believe he's going to have several of us experts from the conference have a discussion about, I think we'll have to even define our terms. What do we mean by medicine, and what do we mean by healing and health, and how might the psilocybin experience or the mushrooms that contain these things, how might that be healing, and everything from personal exploration, personal healing to cultural.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much. This has been Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been privileged to speak with Kat Harrison, a returning guest to the Telluride Mushroom Festival. She is speaking at one venue primarily, the Palm, on various different topics. She is an ethnobotanist and an illustrator and an author. Kat, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
You're welcome.